Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, and I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast presented by Agency Revolution, creators of Attract, a powerful marketing suite that enables you to spend less time on marketing and more time growing your business. Attract gives you the technology and the content you need to find your ideal prospect and turn them into your best customer. If you have not done so, visit agencyrevolution.com. Request a demo. You'll be glad you did. And now, about this podcast, of which I am very excited. Tom Super is our guest. He's the Vice President of the Property and Casualty Insurance Intelligence Group at J.D. Power, and he's responsible for leading the continued expansion of the insurance practice. Every year for the last 13 years, J.D. Power has conducted the annual U.S. Insurance Shopping Study. And from that study, we can draw conclusions about the modern insurance consumer. We cover that in great detail. Tom is very forthcoming with the data and what the science reveals about today's consumer. And they are changing as if we didn't know that before. But in this case, Tom can point us to some specifics about what they want and to some extent what they don't want. So there are some indications, for example, there's an element of the demographic that shows maybe they're not as happy as they used to be. This survey analyzes today's automobile insurance consumer and segments them into three segments, and you'll get an overview of what each of those are, but we'll also get a very strong argument from Tom on which of those segments is best suited for the independent insurance agent both ways. They get better served by us, and we get very richly rewarded by them. So we cover the kind of information that as a strategist, as an agency principal or an insurance agent, this is the stuff you want because it presents the world as it is, which makes it much easier for us to make decisions. Before I introduce you to the podcast conversation that I have with Tom, a couple of things or one thing, connect with me. If you connect with me on LinkedIn, gosh, I'm LinkedIn Michael Janz. I do share insights and tips, access to free marketing content. And so, boom, you already seem to be interested in that kind of stuff. So connect with me on LinkedIn. Would love to get to know you better. And for those of you who are on Instagram, I'm more than happy to share a little bit of a sneak peek of the lifestyle of the most remote worker in the insurance industry. And life in the casita where we conduct the podcast. And I basically, this is where I conduct most of my work and meet with clients and host our mastermind group. And also insights on marketing and insights that my clients are willing to share or share through me. Boom, connect with me on Instagram and LinkedIn. We'll talk about the other social media later. So that's it for now. It is, with great pleasure, that I am able to introduce you to what I consider to be a very important conversation with Tom Super. Tom Super, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing well, Michael. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you. Very brief story. I was reading the Insurance Journal. I saw your article. I shared it with some of my clients. I got feedback and I thought, and questions. And I thought, well, let's just call Tom. And so, one thing led to another. And yes, we have had some robust discussions about your research and analysis, which I think is really insightful. So
That's great. That means we're focusing on the right stuff.
So focusing on stuff that matters a lot to my clients. So, therefore, it's really important. And so, let's start. First thumbnail sketch about Tom Super. How did you get to be who you are and where you are right now?
Yeah, so I am the vice president of our insurance practice at J.D. Power. Uh-huh. For those unfamiliar, you know, J.D. Power works with every single top 20 carrier in the U.S. Have been around forever, really the last 20 years. It's really when J.D. Power has made their mark within the insurance space. They're most known for producing a series of studies every year,
Is it right to say, I don't know if this is the tagline or it's part of the brand, but J.D. Power kind of positions itself as the voice of the consumer.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
It does research and analysis, it does have a particular angle to that. What are customers saying today, right?
That's right. And J.D. Power really hangs its hat on independence, right? So we are the voice of the customer. What's interesting is the foundation of the company started with J.D. Power, with a gentleman based out of California that was sitting in his kitchen and sent out surveys to customers about their auto experience. And that really sparked. That was in, about 50 years ago or so. And that has evolved to where we're at today. Now we, within the insurance practice, we touch over 1.8 million insurance consumers every year, mainly through surveying.
Right.
To get their experience.
That's a remarkable amount of data you're collecting.
It is. Okay. It is. 1.8 million, and then you think about all the different questions. It's really robust.
Okay, so what I like about this conversation is you've got data. Clearly, you're going to have some opinions and conclusions, but they're based on really sound data. We're not just making things up because we heard a story or an anecdote somewhere in the marketplace.
That's right. So, yeah, and it's also based on what we call longitudinal analysis, which is looking at consumer feedback over a number of years and what those trends are, not just in one snapshot. So it's really rooted in very robust data analytics.
All right. So, there were a couple of studies which you have done recently. We're going to focus on one of them today and one of them in part two when we do that later. So part one, I think you call it the insurance shopping survey?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So give us kind of big picture. How often does J.D. Power conduct this survey?
Yeah, so this is it's the 2019 insurance shopping study. We produce it once a year. It comes out in April. It's really the flagship of our study that we produce. It the main purpose of it is to understand consumer behavior when it comes to what influences them to shop, why they are switching, amongst the various brands, what causes them to switch, what are they looking for within an insurance company. Mm-hmm. So it's a really meaningful insight. We work with many carriers in terms of reporting out what we're finding in terms of market behaviors, and there's a high level of interest when this study comes out every year.
Right. Let me share, the first thing that caught my attention was the lead in your article in the Insurance Journal. Competition is tightening across the P&C insurance market, with just 2% of new consumers entering the personal lines auto insurance market last year, and with retention rates, and I'm assuming are these carrier retention rates, right?
That's right. Yep.
Not agency retention rates, hovering around 88%. Most insurers face a zero-sum proposition in which growth of their company requires taking share from competitors. So, that kind of sets the framework for some of your conclusions in this study. So, where do you want to start? There's so much that you have uncovered in this study, and I'm clearly going to be focusing, and I definitely want to drill down on what the implications are for the independent insurance agent and that system. But let's start big picture. What were some of kind of the big conclusions or ahas from this survey?
Yeah, I think what you laid out, Michael, right, around just the state of the market, right? Competition is tightening, right? You don't have a lot of new net growth in the market.
Right.
So for a carrier or an independent agent, mainly this is a carrier perspective, for them to grow, it really is they're taking share from someone else, right? It's coming at the expense of someone else. And the message that we see here and where the data is coming out is that it really becomes with this environment where you have minimal growth, being able to attract and retain your best customers, your most attractive customers,
mm-hmm.
what we call these high value customers, has become an increasingly important part of any carrier's ability to sustain and grow in the market.
Okay.
And the way that you kind of think about the high value customers is almost like high margin products in any other industry, right? Those that have very large margins. They tend to and when we talk about high value customers, we're not talking about affluent.
Right. So we don't want to confuse this with the high net worth customer.
That's right.
Okay.
That's not what we're talking about.
So define the high value customer, and then let's talk about why they're of particular interest to the independent agent.
Yeah. So the high value customer, think about it from risk tiers, right? Versus the high net worth. So this is really your preferred risk tier customer segment. And when we think about them, right, these are consumers that independent agents have done very well with traditionally, and
right.
Probably won't come as a surprise. They tend to be people with better credit scores, fewer traffic violations. They don't drive as much. They don't have a lot of tickets. They have a lot more products.
Okay.
They bundle it.
Right. So they also own more, right? They own more.
They do.
Right. Okay.
They do. And what we have found relative to independent agents is that they've done a very good job of attracting this consumer to their book and being able to close these consumers as well. And that caught the attention of a lot of carriers that we spoke with. So some of the data that we have around this is independent agents, when compared against other channels, when we look at high-value customers, 26%, so 1 in 4, is closed through an independent agent, which is really good. And if you compare that, against some of the other segments, they're much lower in the low teens. So independent agents are doing very well at being able to not only attract but also close these segments that carriers have become very focused on.
All right, let me ask you a question. I want to drill down on that one. This high-value customer. As I recall, I think your study indicated that they represent 22% of the population.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're saying that the independent agency channel is closing 1 out of 4.
That's right.
Okay. Number one, it seems to me it should be significantly higher than that. So we might circle back on that one, but number two, would you say that demographic is the demographic which is best suited for the independent agency channel, and vice versa, that our channel best serves that demographic?
Yeah, where they really stand out, based on the research that we find, that this type of consumer appreciates choice and flexibility.
Okay.
And independent agents do extremely well around that. And they also value expertise and advice, right?
That's critical. Now, I don't know if the survey rated them. Like, what's most important, choice or, advice and expertise? Do you know?
Yeah, we're seeing a trend around choice.
Okay.
Choice has become a major factor. And what's influencing that is, it's very interesting, is that consumer expectations are being shaped by experiences outside of insurance.
Okay.
Right? So if you go and interact with Amazon, or you interact, at a retail shop or whatever it is, you get choice, right? You get convenience, you get ease, you get choice. And consumers are bringing those expectations to their insurance relationships, and independent agents do very well in that regard.
Of course. All right. So, again, on that critical question, it would seem that that any insurance provider would want this customer demographic, but it would seem that our channel is best suited to serve them. Is that a fair statement? Look, I'm not arguing against other channels. I'm simply saying that certain channels are designed, engineered in such a way that they're best suited for different demographics.
That's right.
Fair enough.
I think that's a fair statement, right?
Okay.
Because if you think about what these consumers, what makes up these consumers, right? They have more assets. They tend to, you know, skew a little bit older. And so what they're looking for, they're not looking for a transactional relationship,
okay,
right? They are looking, they're looking for something where there is choice that we talked about, right? Flexibility,
mm-hmm,
to be able to fit their needs, because they over-index in having things like multiple products. They have toys, they have boats, motorcycles,
right,
those types of things. And, you know, the ability to have, you know, these are things that they have built over their lives, and they want to make sure they're fully protected. So, that you know, they see value in making sure that they are covered for the right thing.
Got it.
Versus a lower-end consumer that might be a monoline customer that just, you know, hey, they see it more as a commodity, whatever's the lowest price, and they take it.
Okay. Talk to us for a moment about what the other two groups. As I recall, you've got a low value, medium value, and high value in this particular analysis, right? Okay. So, talk to us about the other two groups, what they are, what they represent, and also, like, who's taking care of them? Who are they attracted to?
Yeah, so we did bulk this into basically three tiers, and we did this for the reason of aligning it with risk tier segments. And as I mentioned, the high value segment is aligned very closely to what underwriters consider preferred risk.
Right.
So when we look at the other two segments, the low, which is similar to non-standard, it's not exactly non-standard. There's some people that fall out of that, but they have a lot of similar characteristics and traits, right? They have 2+ accidents or tickets within the last 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
They drive over, on average, 25,000 miles annually, so they're driving a lot more. They tend to be a little bit younger. They over-index and lapsing their policies, and they have a little bit less, fair to poor credit scores.
That represents 27% of the automobile driving population, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, 27%. And then the rest of the market falls into the standard bucket, kind of the mid-level, what we call medium level. And that represents 51% of the market. So that's really your bulk of consumers in the market today. You know, they have good to excellent credit scores. You know, they are your average consumer in terms of miles driven. They do fairly well with not having as many accidents and tickets, but they may have one or two marks on their record.
Mm-hmm.
They are really your average underwriting demographic.
Got it. Now, would you say are they a good fit with the independent agency channel, but not as profitable as the high value? Or do they?
Yeah.
Okay. Where do they tend to go for their insurance?
Yeah, so that's a couple of questions in there. So there's one that is alignment with independent agents. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities that you have between higher end standard and then your top tier preferred segment, right?
Okay.
And really, what differentiates them is some things around behavioral, dimensions around miles driven every year and factors such as that puts them in the medium tier versus what you consider the preferred tier segment.
Okay.
So, yeah, getting into the carriers, this is where we found a lot of interesting insights. And let's talk about Progressive and Geico, because they are always the top two horses in the race that folks right. tend to focus on uh-huh. when you think about, you know, what's happening in the insurance market. And we find very different, almost polar opposite performance when it comes to high-value consumer segments. And it makes sense. So at one end, you have Progressive, which is doing very well. They've been investing heavily in terms of a number of different capabilities to better serve this segment, and specifically investing into independent agent relationships. You know, a lot of Progressive's growth, this isn't reported a lot, comes through their independent agent channel. And
do you know, can you drill down on that, like one side versus the other, which one is outstripping the other?
Yeah, I mean, it's still direct is the majority of the revenues, but mm-hmm. the growth that has come over the last 36 months or so,
right.
they've seen, I think it's year-over-year growth within their independent agent on a monthly basis for something like 72 consecutive months or something, some impressive number. Hold me exactly to that statistic, but I know that that's something that they've really highlighted as part of being able to not only grow as a business, but also move up market, and which is being able to better align their services against this higher-end consumer market.
Well, I think, you know, in retrospect, if you sort of look back historically at that brand, they were in almost every independent insurance agency, and they were sort of there as an outlet for substandard or non-standard, and you know.
Yep.
But now. Yeah. We've seen some upmarket trends, right?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, that's their pedigree. Yeah.
So we've seen a fairly powerful strategic shift. And
that has been.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So fair enough.
And the reason why is that there's a level of consolidation that they've done, right? With they've exhausted their growth potential with kind of that down market, the monoline consumer. So in order to continue at the rate that they've been growing, they're expanding their market base and they're building capabilities to deliver against that market. Their ability to do things like online bundling,
uh-huh.
they're the first mover on that.
Right.
If you think about online bundling, who's going to want to be able to do that? It's going to be someone with a lot of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And very similar to what we're talking about in terms of this segment. They've deployed a new agency platform over the last 24 months.
Right.
They can do where agents can now see consumers at a portfolio level. And again, those are all capabilities designed towards meeting someone with a lot of assets, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
they've made investments there. Geico is a different story, right?
Okay.
Geico,
okay. Yes, tell us about that story. Because I'm looking at, you've got a 2x2 chart. Which I'm assuming kind of tells a little bit of the story of like which carriers are serving which segments of the market. This is from the Insurance Journal article, and you've got Progressive over on the right, and you got Geico over on the left. So what is the story that this is telling?
Yeah, well, what we see here, and this is a year-over-year analysis, so it's not an entire snapshot of their entire book, but
right.
it really provides a good insight on trending. And when we look at the trends, their ability to replace a higher value customer when they grow their book. So who are they essentially growing with, right? When you look at a percentage of growth, Geico and Progressive are similar, but what we find is that Geico's performance is actually growing with the lower end consumer market.
Right.
And a lot of this comes out of, they've also made similar efforts as Progressive in terms of their messaging around insuring motorcycles and other things and renters policies and the like. But they have not invested in the capabilities that, that Progressive has. And, for instance, Progressive writes some of their home policies on their own paper now.
Right.
They have partnerships with HomeSite and others that are other brands. But, you know, Geico doesn't do any of that. And obviously, Geico has no independent agent channel. They've tried to mess themselves in the market about having agents available, which is over the phone 24/7. So they have some operational headwinds that Progressive is better positioned to be able to serve this higher end market, and we're seeing the results.
Got it. This is a survey that is executed year after year, probably for some years. Can you talk to us a little bit about trends in consumer or industry behavior?
Yeah. So one of the things that we alluded to earlier, which is a really interesting dynamic around rising consumer expectations. It's been steady for the last 5 years and really has accelerated over the last three. And so what we mean by that is that that consumers are having expectations around what a insurance carrier is able to provide for them.
Okay.
And those expectations are not being met in a large part, especially for certain segments of the market, right? If you've got, for the majority of the case right now, if you've got an account, right, and you've got a relationship with an independent agent, and then you want to be able to go in and let's say view your policy online with the carrier that decided to subscribe with, your ability to navigate and move across that is very clunky, right? It's not a smooth experience.
Uh-huh.
You've got more complex coverages like life insurance or umbrella. That's not a very easy relationship to navigate through. And if you ever talk with a carrier, man, you get the wrong left and right. You don't need to tell your audience, your agents about this. They know firsthand. And so as other industries figure this out, right? Amazon now delivers things to your door, right, within like 24 hours, right? They continue to improve their customer experience to meet consumer expectations.
Yeah.
And the insurance industry is still trying to figure out some of the basic, blocking and tackling capabilities of interactions with consumers. And they've made things difficult. And so, yeah, that is one of the really interesting trends, is that we see consumers feeling frustrated by that.
Now, I don't know that consumers ever had a love affair with the insurance industry, but are you discovering that the level of satisfaction, is it going down? Is that being something we can measure with like a customer satisfaction index? How do we get that?
Yeah, so exactly. So we look at it a couple of different ways.
Okay.
The first is what you rightly pointed out. Overall SAT or CSAT numbers have been declining, right, while their marks around capabilities have actually been increasing. So as carriers are making these big investments, right, in that mobile apps and different things, consumer expectations continue to slowly dwindle down and down and down. And when we pull that back a little bit further, we're finding that the core elements that they're looking for an insurance relationship are not being met. Those are things like ease of experience, transparency, being able to, flexibly do what they want to do, have choice, which we talked about earlier.
Right,
so.
Right.
And the other interesting dimension about this is that that emerged around expectations is that if insurance consumer or carriers have done a pretty poor job around differentiating consumer experiences when they interact with a brand.
Oh, okay.
And what we mean by that is that you know, every commercial, right, some people are saying, we have really good agents, we have really good claims process, we have really good products, right? You can customize your products any way that you want.
Right.
And then customers interact with these brands, and they find that they're really pretty much the same, right? I mean, you're not kidding. A high white glove type of service from one, there's not a lot of differentiation, and they're getting a generic experience. And what we found, which was really interesting, is that, their satisfaction scores among your best customers were among the lowest rated across the book.
Okay, so this is something that's just driving me a little crazy here, Tom. So let's take a look at this one. So, here's something that is, to me, it's a great irony. That I think, as I recall from your study, the high-value customers have the highest retention. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, they do.
They do. And they have lowest net promoter score of the three groups.
They do.
Okay.
They do.
Now, I can guess as to why. So let me guess, and, you know, you can, you know, I don't know how much the analysis reveals the truth, but I can guess that... that number one, they've got three or four policies with one agency. It's hard to move. It's a bigger inconvenience, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. You got it.
Maybe that's it. I think in general, we know, first of all, they tend not to be price shoppers. They tend to be value shoppers, right?
That's right.
They're actually looking for the peace of mind and protection that insurance can deliver. The kind of the lower value customer is going to lean more towards price shopping, and we know that they tend to be not loyal in general.
Okay. That's right. Yeah.
So you get
serial shoppers.
So, yeah. but this does drive me slightly crazy that the very best demographic is the least satisfied with our industry now. Now you're saying that three out of four of them are insured by a different channel, right?
That's right.
Okay,
yep.
So maybe it's their fault. Well, I don't know, and my guess is you didn't slice and dice down to that level. Right?
No, we didn't get into too much of that, but we did. Your analysis is right, which is that they have more assets, and that makes them less likely to switch. Right. Everyone knows bundled customers have higher retention numbers and because of the complexity there. And also they don't have, I would throw a couple other factors. They don't have a lot of alternatives, right? So if they're not meeting their needs, there really aren't a lot of other carriers that are able to meet their expectations today. There's no carriers that have positioned themselves to really knock it out of the park with this market.
Right.
So there's that factor. The other is, which we talked about, kind of the generic experience that they're getting. And you overlay that against, you know, all the rate action that's been taken, right, by carriers over the last several years. And how that disproportionately impacts those that have multiple policies and assets.
Uh-huh.
And we are starting to see an uptick in their shopping behavior in what was once an immovable market segment, right? They were pretty stuck, right? They were with a few of the mutuals, and you can really displace them. And now, because of these factors that we just talked about, they're out there more active in the market, and that's why, you know, we kind of raised the flag for carriers to say, and for agents to say, hey, you really need to keep an eye on this because the market's starting to shift here.
Okay, that's important. So I think you're saying that we can anticipate that our best demographic is more restless than before.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And the factors are what? What's driving that?
Well, I think that, right, they've been hit with rate action.
Okay.
At a disproportionate amount over the last several years.
Okay.
And it's both in terms of frequency and, put in claims terms, frequency and severity, right? That they've been loyal customers, right? We hear this We're very loyal, right, to our brands, to our agents.
Right.
And all we keep on getting is rate increases, right? And, you know, in other industries, the more loyal you are, the more treats.
The more discounts you get.
Right?
40% off.
Exactly.
Okay.
For the airline industry, right, you get status, you get all, so, and there's, I understand there's regulatory safeguards in place that we treat consumers fairly, but at the same time, there are opportunities for carriers and agents to find ways to delight this.
Okay.
This segment. Yeah.
All right. And, so talk to us about delighting the high-value customer.
So one of the things that we found is that they have much higher satisfaction if they have a policy review done or offered. So you can either offer or have a policy review, and we find that their satisfaction scores go up.
No kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty significant. Do you know how much, or like, how do you measure that?
Yeah, we did it by CSAT score. So we looked at those customers within this segment that were offered a policy review within the last 12 months versus those that did not, and then looked at their CSAT numbers against that. And those that had been offered a policy review had about a 30% higher satisfaction score than those that did not.
30% higher?
Yes.
That's in those analyses. That's a lot, right?
It's significant.
Okay,
it is significant.
So presumably, then, with a higher score, their loyalty will be higher. Their retention will be higher. Their proclivity to buy more policies will be higher, and their tendency to generate referrals for the agency will be higher.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. I just went. That's
right on. And what's interesting, I mean, it's probably, one of the things that come out is that I think one of the reasons why you said you have such a disparity in performance is that still, when we survey customers, 37% of customers overall, this is across the market, have reported that they've never interacted with their agent.
Agent, not insurance provider in general, agent?
An agent. And 1 in 10 customers said that they've never interacted with their carrier at all beyond making payments. And so, you know, when you think about that disparity, about those that are offering the policy review, the better agents, right? The ones that are staying engaged, not the 30% that have never heard from their agents, right?
Yeah.
There's an opportunity to really step up the performance and differentiate between those that are not engaged in those that are.
Okay. So, I want to make sure I get this right. Did you say 37% reported that they never heard from their agent? No interaction with their agent?
That's right.
Okay. All right. I'll get the tissues out when I'm done with the podcast. clearly that represents a huge opportunity.
Yeah. And also, in all fairness, like I said, this is across the entire market, meaning that their definition of having an agent, some of these may not have a quote-unquote physical agent. So this included GEICO customers. This included all consumers. So that's why the numbers were probably a little bit higher than what you would expect.
All right. I want to get back to kind of the trends. So do you feel like you have like sufficient data to be able to like give us a glimpse of what the next 2 or 3 years might look like in terms of consumer behavior and consumer satisfaction?
Well, that's a really good question.
I didn't say this was going to be easy, Tom. I want you to predict the future and tell us all exactly what to do.
Well, I think there's going to be a race towards being able to better satisfy this segment that we have talked about, this high value.
Yeah, in fact, I think, as I recall, the headline in your article, and I don't know if it was if you write the headline or if the journal wrote it, but it was like, the next insurance battleground is the high value customer, right?
Yeah. Okay. The reason why.
Well, that's something agents want to listen to. So tell us about that, that battleground. You know, is
yeah.
Tell us about that.
A little bit more. You're right. A little bit dramatic to catch the you know audience attention a little bit. But no. What we found there is that. So if you think about over the last 15 years, right, the emergence of direct. Have focused on providing and delivering an expectation that's tailored really towards the monoline price-sensitive consumer, right, that you described earlier.
Uh-huh.
And right. If you think about a lot of those consumers were embedded in mutuals and other agencies, other carriers, you know, across the nation. And so Geico and Progressive and others that, you know, you think about have done a very good job of growth by consolidating these price-driven consumers, displacing them.
Do you know how much market share they have earned in that 10 to 15-year period or stolen, so to speak, from other channels?
Well, let me just throw out a couple numbers that will really kind of shock you. One is that just last year alone, the overall industry grew by $14 billion, a little over $14 billion. Half of that, $7.7 billion, went to just two carriers, Geico and Progressive. So they are taking share at a considerable rate, and they have been. So just to throw out some numbers, right? Over a 10-year period, Geico's direct written premium growth has been 163%. Progressive is 132%. USAA comes in at third at 131%. But you also have some independent agent carriers that have done well as well. Auto Owners has grown by 126%. Erie's grown by 76%. Travelers has done well around 40%.
So now, I want to make sure I got I'm measuring the right thing. Did you say that's 10-year growth?
10-year growth in personal lines auto.
Got it.
Geico
Progressive, or Geico 163%, Progressive 132%, right? Do I have that right? USAA 131%. Okay. But then on the independent side, Auto Owners and Erie have seen significant growth. So what about the channel in general?
The channel in general, we have if I have that data in front of it. We have seen, you know, a lot of growth coming from direct. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
But it's where we look at the across channels, exclusive agents are the ones that have struggled within this environment. And one of the major factors for that, what we're hearing, is the limited amount of choice, right? So, you know, they know going in that those agents are tied to a specific carrier, and the ability to shop online has become easier, right? And so when they look at a single carrier, they're interacting more and more through digital channels to do that. Independent agents have the advantage of representing, you know, multiple carriers, and you know, that positions them differently in the market than, let's say, you know, an exclusive. Agent.
Got it. All right. So, I do want to kind of, you know, wind this up with a kind of big question at the end. Before we do that, and the big question is, you know, what advice do you have to an independent agency principal? Is there anything else from the study that you feel kind of jumps out and deserves attention that we haven't covered?
You know, I think one of the things that we have found is that would be worth, you know, highlighting for independent agents is the important role that consideration plays in a consumer's mind when deciding to select a brand. And what we found is that on average, consumers get anywhere between 3 to 4 quotes before they make a decision.
Oh, really? Okay.
And if you could be in that consideration set,
yeah.
And when you're an independent agent, right, bringing forward potentially brands that resonate with consumers, consumers have a much higher likelihood to close when it's with brands that they have a greater unaided awareness of. It's at a much higher clip across the industry. Now, obviously, independent agents have the added value of being in the industry, having advice and counsel, and, you know, when it comes to brands that consumers may be less familiar with, and we'll look to agents to provide that advice and counsel, right, around the quality of those carriers. But from an independent agent's perspective, the ability to close brands that consumers recognize, and that's probably been one of the reasons why Progressive has done so well, is it's sold, and it's a brand that is widely recognizable to consumers before they even walk in.
Got it. All right. Now, on that point, this just simply may not be in the study, but do you know, of the 3 or 4 quotes that I got as a consumer, what percentage of them are simply not closed because it's the lowest price? Is that in or outside the scope of this survey?
Yeah, price becomes more important at the point of purchase. So when they get a quote, what drives them to get a quote are, a price is a factor, but it's not the factor.
Are we talking about all three segments, low, medium, high, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Overall across the market.
Overall, all right.
Overall. So at the point of close, it really pivots around two things, because they've already, we look at it as almost a funnel, right? What gets you to shop in the first place, what gets you to then be aware, consider a brand, then quote, and now we're at the point of close, right? So they've already kind of gone through that process.
They're down at the bottom of the funnel, all right. And so
price and good coverages, those are the ones that are, and this is across the market, right, across all groups, price and making sure that they have the coverage options that meet their needs are the two biggest factors that drive them to bind a policy or close a policy.
I can't help but wonder how much of the purchasing decision is made around some unconscious values, like I like these people, I feel safe with these people, I feel a connection, they're in my community. That I just wonder how much, right?
You know, we've done some work, and this is actually one of the things that we're going to be queuing up in next year's study, and maybe we could revisit it then, which is, what are those brand attribute factors about being local, being convenient, being innovative, being trustworthy, that really resonate with consumers? So it's a great question. That's something that we're going to be digging in next year.
Okay, good. Well, then we're going to have a conversation about that next year. Tom, I have one last question for you. So based on the information in this study, what advice or counsel would you give to a principal of an independent insurance agent? What does this mean? What's the big so what for my listeners and clients?
Well, the big takeaway for independent agents would be, you know, understanding what's happening within the market relative to this high-value consumer segment, and that we are seeing, broadly speaking, that they're reporting that they're not getting a very differentiated experience when it comes to their interaction, and the ability to provide better white glove treatment to them, for those that are the best customers, that pay the most, that have the highest margins, right? Are an expectation that they're bringing to insurance companies. And so the better that independent agents can do to providing that type of service that they expect for the higher premiums that they're paying will go a long way in making sure that they're happy and satisfied.
Got it. Okay. Tom, I know you are not in the business of taking inbound calls and random questions from independent insurance agents, but if my listeners want to know more, want to find out more, want to learn more about this analysis or J.D. Power, what do you recommend?
I would encourage them to connect through LinkedIn.
Okay.
Because I not only report on some of the big studies we produce, but at least once or twice a week, I'm out there. I help provide
snippets
of analysis.
Okay, LinkedIn.
If you want to
Tom
follow
Super.
Me on LinkedIn, would be great. Yeah, LinkedIn/TomSuper. Yep.
All right. Terrific. Tom, I really appreciate the conversation. I think the analysis that you guys have done definitely provides a very healthy service to the industry. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.